Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Let's figure out, let's try and guess why this 6-week strike is over. How you doing, my friend?
Good. I'm good and I'm relieved.
You're relieved and you kind of called it. You were on less than 2 weeks ago and read the tea leaves and felt that we had turned a corner, and then boom, 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 they sort of fell like flies, which I imagine after the first one went, the other two were close behind.
Yeah, we were surprised, though, that in the last 2 weeks, the UAW brought out the big guns and they shut down Arlington, Texas, which is a giant General Motors plant.
Okay. So is that what did it? Did this strategy of shutting down certain ones and then other ones to apply pressure against all three of the automakers individually, do you think that ultimately paid out?
I think it did. It worked well for the UAW because the strike had a fairly significant impact on automotive production. It also cost the UAW less money because they weren't paying out strike funds. 100,000 workers were still in jobs. So this may have been brilliant. It's hard to tell yet, but I think in retrospect, we may regard it with some casual interest.
Okay. What did the workers, generally speaking, get, and then what didn't they get?
What they didn't get, and we knew they were never going to get this, was a 32-hour work week. And it doesn't look like they got a lot of their post-retirement health care wishes either. But what they did get is a significant raise, something like 25% over the next 4 years. And they didn't shut down the two-tier wage plan, but they did reduce it considerably. And based on the deal with Ford, and we'll probably see this across all the makers, to the time path to reach full pay, which used to be 8 years, is now just 3 years.
Okay, so not everything, and this is how this goes, right? There's always going to be some compromises. I don't know, did you mention the pension in there, or are there more retirement options for people, like a one-time pay? I was a little confused on what I read there.
I don't know what I read there either. I think there was some consideration there, but I don't think the UAW got nearly what they wanted out of that stuff, out of the pension or health care.
Okay, I want to play a little clip from you, and this is from the UAW president, Sean Fain. Let's hear his reaction today to the GM announcement.
As I've said repeatedly, the membership is the highest authority in this union. We are bringing this tentative agreement to you because we wholeheartedly believe that our strike squeezed every last dime out of General Motors.
That doesn't sound very nice. I don't know how else to say that. I mean, I know he's trying to sell it to his union because he needs them to vote for these three things. Do you think that's just a little gamesmanship being played within their own union to rally the cry?
It might be, and it might be also just let's ratify this thing and move on. And additionally, it's almost a nugget to throw to General Motors so they don't have to come back with more on the table.
Right, because apparently it's everything. Every dime. It's every dime,
yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, and then in that case, is there anything that you see, and I know you're not, you know, an economist unless you are secretly and never told me, Tom. But
I am not.
You look at this, you study this stuff. Is there anything in those agreements that really jeopardizes the big three moving forward? I know that's a loaded question.
A little bit. These are large raises. But when they talk about how much these raises are going to add to the price of a car, they would have given raises to the workers anyway. So it's just that we get them at one time and they look huge in that perspective. And they are solid raises. This is a great deal for the UAW. But I think there aren't any huge surprises here.
All right. Locally, this could be a benefit to some workers that listen to WGN here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal.
What is it?
Belvedere Assembly, which used to make the Jeep Cherokee, was shuttered last year. 1,200 workers were laid off, and that plant's going to come back to life. And this is interesting because it's slightly unclear what they're going to be producing there. But Stellantis has suggested that they're going to build a mid-size pickup truck up at the Belvedere plant. Plus, nearby and related, they're going to build a battery plant, which is exciting.
Okay, so that's what I was going to kind of ask next, is one of the worries of the UAW, yes, these three companies have been making a lot of money, record profits over the last few years, but in order to stay competitive against the electric vehicle trends, which are largely made by non-union shops in the southern parts of the states or outside of the country, that there would be this competitive imbalance between the industries. Do we have any resolution in that sense? There are more batteries and workers that make batteries included in this? Can you, kind of pull apart what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah, General Motors has the most battery plants under construction and already built in the U.S. And one of the things that was part of this deal that, the UAW wanted under the quote-unquote master agreement was that the same level of benefits and pay be applied to the workers at these battery plants. And I think they got that. That was a concession primarily by General Motors because they've got the most on the ground. But Chrysler has announced three battery plants in the last year, two in Kokomo, Indiana, and now one over in Belvedere. So that's good news. Good news regionally.
Zooming out, do you see, I know this has been the argument from a lot of labor organizations, that there's a building more momentum to unions, strengthen unions, and that that a good contract for UAW could pressure other companies that are non-union, their workers, to move into a union. In the car industry itself, talking about those southern states and the factories, anything, any rumblings of that, or is it just too early to tell?
It's too early to tell, but one of the interesting things has been labor shortages in some of the rural areas where some of these factories have been built. When they were built, it was just assumed there was going to be plentiful, relatively affordable labor available. But recently, with labor shortages, we're finding that a lot of these greenfield sites that were transplant automakers building here in the U.S., they're having to pay considerably higher wages just to get people in the door. That's not a reflection on the UAW contract, but there will be the greater expectation that the UAW contract, which kind of represents the best that probably an auto worker can do, be reflected in other manufacturers' wages and benefit packages.
Well, that last minute of an answer you gave is like a sweetness for both sides, that the labor can force higher raises, but a lot of times it's the market itself determining what the prices will be for labor indeed.
Yeah.
Tom, I know you're going to be on with Steve and Johnny this weekend, right?
Yeah, midnight on Saturday, yeah.
I love Steve and Johnny, and we love you too, Tom. Thanks for joining us as always. Oh, Consumer Guide Automotive, anything to plug?
I've got some stuff from the Detroit Motor Show that went up this week. People might want to check that out.
We sure do. Tom Abell, as always, thanks for joining us. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Pleasure was mine. Thanks.